Hey, welcome to Space Gab. This is Mike Coletta. It's the 20th of January, 2022. Space Gab can be heard at www.spacegabpodcast.com, which takes you directly to my Anchor FM's site that I host the podcast at. It could also be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many other podcast venues. Well, it looks like a UK-based media company, SEE, says it plans to launch a large spherical module to the International Space Station in 2024 to be used for filmmaking, sports, and other activities. This space arena module will be attached to Axiom's module. This is tweeted out by Eric Berger, and he's on Twitter as the @SciGuySpace, if you'd like to see more. But, you know, the Axiom space module, Axiom is going to be putting up a number of modules, as I've talked about many times on past podcasts, up at the International Space Station. They also touted a separate space station, the Axiom station, or the X station early on, that they're going to be doing. We're not sure about that happening at all, but it probably still will happen. But this one, Eric Berger says, I continue, normally one might be fairly dismissive of this as a speculative venture, and 2024 seems far too soon. But SEE, the company, apparently is working closely with Axiom, and adding this kind of additional space for tourists would be a pretty big deal. So, pretty interesting, he says. And then he continues in this thread. It says, the module will allow artists, producers, and creatives to develop, produce, record, and live stream content, which maximizes the space station's low orbit microgravity environment, including films, television, music, and sports. Axiom is the original equipment manufacturer. So very interesting. And this just came out, so you're going to be hearing more about this. I know at some media outlets were actually linking this with Tom Cruise in ways, I guess some upcoming film he's going to be making in space. And I believe we talked about that in some podcasts a while back. But I don't know if he's going to be involved in this or not. But now it sounds more like, and these quotes are from Eric Berger, are coming. He quotes, I think, the articles on the SEE website. So, very interesting. I wonder how large this thing is going to be when it is finished, finalized. I know there's some renditions that I've seen now, but this item that will be attaching to an Axiom module, and I don't know if that's going to be on one of their space station module or on the module as that's going to be attached to the actual space station, which is more likely because of the time frame that it's going to be going up there. So very interesting. So we'll keep an eye on this one for sure. Buzz Aldrin of Apollo 11 fame and other things. He's going to be 92 today, 92 years old today. Happy birthday, Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the lunar surface. A close encounter of a space debris kind. CNSA Watcher on Twitter says, according to National Space Debris Monitoring Center, at UTC 02:49 and 29 seconds, January 18, 2022, space debris number 49863 from Russian Cosmos 1408 LEO anti-sat weapon test has a close encounter with Singapore science satellite. So a very close encounter. More space debris stuff going on up there because of these ASAT tests. And we're going to be seeing these much more in the future as these particles, these objects spread out more and more and start orbiting in different planes, coming near these different objects that are being tracked. Actually, that's the only, that's the debris we can track, that's of a size that we can track, are going to be probably monitored. But you can't monitor all that debris that's smaller than a size that can be tracked. So when things hit satellites or the space stations or whatever, you know, the different damage that they cause, sometimes they cause holes in the panels and the solar arrays and things like this. Some of these smaller objects, you know, cause smaller holes. But the larger pieces of debris, which are probably one of these, what they're tracking here, you know, could do a lot more damage, as we've seen. I think it was last podcast where I talked about some major damage to one of the satellites, a satellite breakup because of some space debris. So space debris near calls, close calls, and collisions will be happening for always now. Well, it looks like Reuters is saying North Korea warns it may rethink moratorium on nuclear missile tests. Well, we figured this was going to be happening. I would imagine some of the higher-ups probably have wondered about this for a while now, seeing all these ballistic tests that we've been reporting on, and I've been reporting on as they come in. Testing on ballistic missiles coming out of North Korea has increased, and now then we get this warning. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens, and hope for the best. Space News is reporting ABL Space Systems said the second stage of a small launch vehicle they are developing was destroyed in an accident during testing January 19th. Observers at Mojave Air and Spaceport in California reporting hearing a boom around 4:30 p.m. Eastern, followed by a plume of black smoke. The plume visible throughout the area, including by cameras that are part of the wildfire tracking network, dispersed within 20 minutes. There were no reports of any injuries. And I've seen on Twitter a number of photos that people have taken of the plume of black smoke from the ABL Space Systems second stage accident. Oh, by the way, if you want to read about more about these stories I'm giving you on the Space Gab podcast, go to my Twitter feed, which is twitter.com/Mike_Coletta, and you can see the full stories. I'm kind of just giving a brief synopsis of these different stories I'm talking to you about, but you can read the whole stories. I've got links to all these stories there for your reading enjoyment. Eric Berger once again tweets out, a Washington-based startup, Radion Aerospace, is attempting to build a single stage-to-orbit space plane that can carry up to 5 people and 5,000 pounds of cargo. This one has been very interesting, and many people on social media relating to the space industry and space enthusiasts have been tweeting about this. Kind of interesting. They've give this article kind of gives a graphic of what the space plane might be looking like. Pretty impressive looking device. Or plane, or rocket, or whatever people are calling it. It says here, Radion announces plans to build one of the holy grails of spaceflight. The article here says, but it is pretty impressive. 5 persons and 5,000 pounds. Gotta take a look at this thing because it's like nothing that I've seen before. It's similar to, I mean, when you look at it, you start thinking of the space shuttle a little bit, but not really. There's, you know, the articles are there to click and look at, but much more. And it'll be interesting to see when they start testing this space plane. We'll be following that for sure. Sony putting camera in orbit for shutterbugs, not scientists. Space News tweets out, Seoul, South Korea. Sony plans to launch a 6-unit CubeSat with a full-frame camera later this year as part of its StarSphere project that seeks collaboration with artists, entertainers, and educators. The Japanese tech giant built the satellite, whose mock-up was exhibited during CES 2022 in Las Vegas earlier this month, in cooperation with the University of Tokyo and the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, while Sony developed the spacecraft's key components, operating system, and built-in camera, the University of JAXA provided a satellite bus and technical advice, respectively. It says here, once in orbit, 500 to 600 kilometers above Earth, the spacecraft and its built-in camera with a 28 to 135 millimeter F4 lens will be linked with an online controller via a ground station in Japan, enabling selected users to capture and record the Earth and stars using a broad range of camera work options. Wow. And on the Space News page, they have an artist's conception of the CubeSat Sony is building. Wow. I'll tell you, this is going to be, if all goes well, this is going to be a very popular project. I know that more and more people are enjoying photographs and viewing from space. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, another story about something that might be happening to give you some more views of space. But yeah, wow, Sony with this project is going to hit it out of the park, I think. Axiom private mission to ISS delayed. Joey Roulette tweets out, Axiom's first private astronaut mission to the ISS was delayed yesterday by a month. NASA's Phil McAllister says, from late February to March 31st. So we'll have to see how that one plays out. Something really big in the news the last few days about this 5G rollout around airports. And it went all the way up to the White House, I guess. And government, I guess, intervened. But I guess the airline industry and the FCC, I don't know. I guess they didn't really discuss things, what it looks like anyway, why they had to wait until just before it happened, just before the rollout happened, they stopped it. If this is something that you figure would be ironed out and hammered out earlier, before this, but I guess because they're saying that the frequency range, I talked about this a little bit in past podcasts, but the frequency range for this new 5G, the C-band, is pretty close to what many altimeters on aircraft. They say it's really close to the same frequencies, and they were afraid of something was going to be disrupting the altimeters, this 5G. They stopped it. They stopped the rollout near certain airports, and they are working on, I guess, things, mitigation for this. I'm not sure exactly what's going on in the background, but this 5G around certain airports, I guess, is not going to be happening. Because those frequencies are just so close. But they knew about the frequencies being so close, I'm sure, from the beginning. And I don't know why something was done then. Anyway, there was a couple articles out there that says that Europe has gotten through this. And the articles talk about different ways they lowered the power of the 5G around certain airports and kind of angled the antennas away or down at a lower elevation, so they're not going up into the air as much, maybe more parallel to the ground, things like that. But they mitigated the problem in Europe, I guess, around certain airports. So maybe that's what the American FCC and airline industry will be looking at for mitigation also. We'll just have to wait and see. But we won't find out in a bad way how this 5G impacts the airline industry as far as if there's crashes and things like this. I guess it was more on landing. They were more worried about the landing and the altimeter during landings is what I've taken out from a lot of these articles. I haven't really done a deep dive on this stuff. Just kind of, looked at the articles as they came out, just perused through the articles. But they did stop the rollout for now, And hopefully they'll be able to work out this situation. Andrew Jones tweets out, Space Transportation of China. Quote, we are developing a winged rocket for high-speed point-to-point transportation, which is lower in cost than rockets that carry satellites and faster than traditional aircraft. Ground tests by 2023. First flight in 2024. Wow. So another graphic, nice looking graphic of this winged rocket that China is going to be putting out. And more on that article, as you can go to my Twitter feed and click and see much more on this article. But hey, you know, a lot of different designs on these vehicles that are going to be going into space. And very interesting. I wonder how many more commercial ventures we'll see with people having ideas and you know, getting the capital to try these out and test them. We'll just have to wait and see. Well, on Tuesday, SpaceX Falcon 9, a night launch, putting 49 additional Starlink satellites into orbit from Florida. I've got a few still shots from the video that SpaceX put out there, if you'd like to see it, on my Twitter feed. All went well, I guess, and orbit was confirmed on all 49 of those Starlink satellites. Well, last week I talked to you about an ESA observation, Earth observation satellite, having some power issues. Well, I guess the update is they still haven't been able to fix those power issues. I guess it's actually gotten worse. I think it was a Sentinel-type satellite. Well, now they're saying they're actually considering accelerating the launch of the new Earth Science satellite after their existing one malfunctioned last month and remains out of service. So now they're stepping up on, you know, the timeline to get the next one up in orbit. Because apparently this one that's up in orbit now, they weren't able to reset the satellite to correct the power problems. And they're going to need another one up there. So here they go. I guess out at the SpaceX Starship complex, they had a tank. I would imagine it's carrying the propellant. I guess they were doing a test. It says here on their GSE-4 test tank. And all of a sudden, poop, out came the propellant. So they've got a pretty good video if you'd like to see it. I've got a link on my Twitter feed there. Twitter.com/Mike_Coletta. You can see this tank erupt, and I don't know if it exploded or the pressure probably just made it pop, but it definitely is worth watching if you are following the SpaceX Starship sagas. And this is something I've been talking about on numerous podcasts about that leak. Remember that leak that was at the ISS where they were losing oxygen? Well, I guess now, let's see, this is tweeted out by Michael Sheets. It says, NASA update on the atmosphere leak on the International Space Station, which dates back to September 2019, but poses no immediate danger to the crew on board. The leak location has been isolated. And you can click, and NASA provided a chart that breaks down, you know, what has been done for the effort to locate the leak and mitigate the leak, and pretty detailed chart here. If you'd like to look at it, I have on my Twitter feed, I have a link to that. And this was dated the January 18th, if you want to check that article. But they've isolated that leak. It says it poses no threat, no danger, no immediate danger to the crew, and kind of talks about what they're going to be doing in the future to properly, I guess, seal that leak if possible. But at least they found it. They found the actual. That was the thing. They were trying to figure out. You know, there was all that speculation and there was conspiracy theories and all that going on about this leak and how it was possibly intentional and how could this happen? It was probably done with a drill and this and that. Well, there was a lot going on whenever something like this happens. But this is the chart that NASA has put out. And you would hope that this is, you know, the real deal and not one of those conspiracy theory items. But, you know, hey, you never know. Well, Looks like Andrew Jones tweets out anything. China's land space appears to be preparing to launch its new methane-fueled rocket from a new launch complex. China's land space. So obviously, this is a this might be a commercial venture here for this rocket. But Space News does have a much more detailed. It is. It's Chinese private company Landspace is working towards a first launch of its new methane fueled. And then let's see. Oh gosh, I can't pronounce this. It's spelled ZHUQUE-2 rocket. And you want to go check it out. They do have a graphic of this, but it obviously is not the actual rocket launching. It is showing a rocket launch in the graphic, but they haven't launched this new methane fueled rocket yet. This is going to be a new launch. So, hey, you want to go check that out? A much more detailed article if you're interested in this launch. Wow, another private firm in China. Chinese private firm Deep Blue Aerospace has raised nearly 200 million yen and what is it, $31.5 million in a Series A funding for R&D into the Nebula One VTVL rocket, first launch 2023. 3D printing and a work on reusability. Investors include, and then it gives the number of investors. But hey, another private Chinese firm, space firm. China, and I've talked about this in the past, China, you see how much their space industry is growing very quickly. And I know I've seen some, who was it that I saw that said that China's space race is nothing but a myth? Well, I don't think it's a myth. As we've talked about here on Space Gab Podcast many times, all the Chinese space launches that have been a success, all these new private ventures, Chinese ventures, space ventures starting up, funding being provided, new rockets being developed, new satellites, as I talked last week, a Chinese firm able to kick out one satellite ready for launch every 1.5 days. It's not a myth. It's something I know that the Space Force bigwigs are definitely watching. So here's another Chinese private firm, and this one is named Deep Blue Aerospace. Astra prepping for first Cape Canaveral launch. Chris Kemp tweets out, "Preparations are underway for Astra's first launch out of Cape Canaveral and first orbital payload delivery for NASA. We will announce launch date and time once we receive our launch license from the FAA and complete static fire." So Astra launching from Cape Canaveral. And they provided on their tweet, Chris Kemp has provided a number of photos of the launch facility, the rocket, and so forth. If you'd like to check it out on my Twitter feed. Well, a company reached out to me, as some do sometimes when I get my, I don't normally do interviews. I just usually do the podcast just by myself and read about different things concerning space. But I do want to mention, I guess this is, I hope I pronounce this correctly, Raman Space, and I guess it's raman.space is the website. They're involved in providing supercomputing. They want to put, you've got in space, you I guess you don't, you've got limitations. And the amount of supercomputing that can be done on the ground is much larger than can be done in space, is my understanding. But Raman Space, I guess they want to attempt to bring, I know they want to address this and provide more supercomputing in space. And it's a company that is, they're going to be rolling out some products, I guess, here in February, they write me. Kind of interesting stuff. I went to their website and looked at it. And it's something that probably, I mean, you know that many more things are happening in space than were happening, even a decade ago. And satellites and space stations and rockets and everything else. Remember when we landed on the moon? Can you imagine the computing power that was in those vehicles compared to what's in vehicles now. Way more now. But more things are needed. More computing power is needed because satellites are required to do a lot more. Just the space debris mitigation is one thing. And there's so much more that they've got to, so much is going on. It's getting so crowded up there. And I guess this Raman space is trying to provide that supercomputing aspect with many of the products that they're putting together. So I don't know. You might want to go check it out and see. You know, I'm not real versed on everything they do, but I did want to mention that they did reach out to me. And I guess the CEO was possibly going to talk with me. But like I said, I usually do the podcast just based, you know, just myself and talk about stories. But I did want to mention them. And what they're doing is something that's probably definitely going to be needed in the future. And so they're tackling that now. So I guess it's Raman.space. It's Raman.space is the website if you want to go check it out. But and they do have a number of videos on there where they, and some podcast links where they do talk about their products that you can listen to. But so there you go. It's kind of interesting. CubeSat aboard Artemis 1 to capture near-Earth asteroid images. NASA SLS tweeted out NEA Scout. I guess that's the name of the satellite. NEA Scout will fly aboard the SLS for Artemis 1. This CubeSat will use a science-grade camera to capture images of a near-Earth asteroid for scientists to better understand these unexplored solar system neighbors. Huh. So you got one CubeSat that's going to be going up and for artists to use, and this one is going to be going up for people, you know, for the scientists to look at a near-Earth asteroid. CubeSats are getting pretty complicated, aren't they? Hey, just like I said, you're going to need more supercomputing, in my previous story I talked about. And so many more companies are coming out and designing these things. But, wow, and just talking about, you know, these satellites that China says they can kick out one every 1.5 days. You know, I don't know the complexity of those satellites, but I don't, you know, and they could be pretty complex. But I know these companies that are putting out these other satellites, you know, I can only imagine the complexity of some of these satellites to do what they do. Well, January 17th, China's first launch in 2022 at UTC 0235. Shiyan 13 satellite was successfully launched in China. There it goes. I'm watching the video here. That's their first launch. How many launches will they have this year? One doesn't know until the end of the year, I guess. But what they have, something like the low 50s last year, 51, 52? I can't remember exactly, but it was in the 50s. That's how many successful launches China had last year. So we'll just have to wait and see how many they have this year. And with all these private launches, you know, being planned, that number can probably increase, I would imagine. Well, Virgin Orbit put 7 CubeSats into orbit. That's the, I talked about that a little bit last week. That is the system that puts a rocket up to a certain altitude using a 747, releases the rocket, and then the rocket goes into space. And they successfully placed 7 CubeSats into orbit. And there was some coverage of that. I don't think they had coverage of the actual rocket being released from the 747. That's the Cosmic Girl. That's the name of the 747 Virgin Orbit Cosmic Girl. It's the carrier jet. And it departed the Mojave Air and Spaceport and successfully put 7 CubeSats into orbit. Well, that's it. Until next time. Space cowboys.